name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, I personally have viewed this feast as one of great mixed feelings in imagining what the apostles were experiencing that day. It seemed to me that they would have great joy for our Lord going into heaven, receiving his reward in his human nature for all that he had accomplished, but the sorrow of losing the presence of Jesus, the sensible presence of Jesus. They knew that he would stay with them in the Holy Eucharist, but now it would be that act of faith that the sacred host was no longer bread, but truly the very body and divinity and reality and full reality of our Lord. In the Matins lessons this morning, St. Leo the Pope was commenting on this feast, and he said that the apostles had no sorrow. So you see, my personal impression was mixed feelings of sorrow and joy. And in his opinion, which is not official defined church teaching, so we don't necessarily have to, he wasn't speaking in an infallible way there. At least I don't believe he was. If he was, then of course I stand corrected. But he was saying that the apostles were overjoyed for Jesus to go to his reward. And it seems from his commentary that they could even glimpse into heaven and see Jesus going up. But remember, all the souls that were waiting in limbo, even though they were told by our Lord on Good Friday when he descended there that the gates of heaven were open, they could not go there until our Lord went in his triumphant ascension. So it seems that the apostles were seeing at least some of this magnificent procession forming, escorting Jesus into his heavenly glory. And the angels, of course, part of the escort as well. Nothing here on earth can give us an adequate idea of the magnificence of that procession into heaven. You can see, of course, here on earth, magnificent parades, huge rosary marches, huge Corpus Christi processions. As magnificent as they may be, they just give us the smallest of ideas, really, of Jesus' ascension into heaven. So we have to be happy for our Lord. He is God, but he is also man. So again, in his humanity, his sacred humanity, he is receiving the reward in sitting at the right hand of the Father. And that is what today's feast is all about. Having said all that, it is also true to say that the apostles no longer had that sensible awareness of our Lord, where they saw him, they heard him, they could even touch him. They didn't have that sensation. But they knew they had to live by faith, and they taught all of us to live by faith as well. And what amazing proofs our Lord gave of his resurrection. The fact that he ate with them, it showed that he resumed the normal human body. He didn't need to eat, but he ate because he still could do that. St. Thomas, how did we find our Lord's resurrection proven? Put your finger into my wounds. Put it into my hands and my side. What greater evidence could there have been? But again, the apostles, they were still weak in their faith. Some were still doubting. And that's why we're told he upbraided them. Haven't I given you enough proofs? But our Lord did not give up on them. He gave them the correction they needed. He reminded them, live by faith. You have all the evidence of faith. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. No one can claim not enough evidence for the Catholic faith. No one can claim not enough evidence that Jesus is the Messiah. The miracles, the prophecies fulfilled, the history that happened. No one can claim a lack of proof. So we must live by faith then. We who have not seen Jesus as the apostles did, but we live by faith. And we are told today to exercise our faith in that great dogma, heaven. It really does exist. How sad the atheists of the world who reject abundant proofs for God, abundant proofs for Holy Scripture, abundant proofs for our Lord's life, death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. But we must, my dear brethren, keep our eyes fixed on heaven. Today is a great reminder that we are only pilgrims in this life. This is not our true home. This life is but a temporary home. Our real home, our final destiny, is heaven. And we have to merit it. As St. Augustine says, the same God who created you without your cooperation will not save you without your cooperation. We had no choice, did we, to enter this life? That just happened. But we have to cooperate, and God has destined an amazing reward, an amazing throne, an amazing crown in heaven. Some theologians have speculated that the throne we get in heaven was the one vacated by an angel who refused to submit to God and was cast out of hell by Saint Michael and the good angels, and there's countless numbers of those angels. So that's one thought there, one possibility. That's how glorious a reward awaits you at your real home. So we must live in this world as pilgrims, not attached to the passing things of this life. We use them, but we aren't attached to them because we will have to give everything up one day when we are called from this life. We can't take any material things with us to the next life. Why would we want to anyway? Fame passes, glory passes. What matters in the end is the merits that we have earned and have not lost through sin. That's what matters the most. Our Lord tells us to be more worried about the treasure in heaven than any treasure on earth. He says the treasure on earth can be stolen, it can disappear, it can be destroyed. But as long as you persevere in grace, your treasure in heaven cannot be destroyed. We have to go through many sacrifices in this life. We have to go through many losses. Again, think of the loss that the apostles experienced of the sensible presence of our Lord. As St. Leo says, they were still filled with supernatural joy, but still, unless our Lord had left them, they would not grow to the next spiritual level. And our Lord also said, if I do not leave you, the Holy Ghost will not come and give you those other graces and blessings. So this is the way we should look at life's losses, the things that we can't have, the frustrations of life, or the things that we do have and we lose or taken away from us. The death of loved ones, prime example. Those are difficult to deal with. But when we bear them in the right spirit, we grow spiritually. We grow very much. So this is what this life is. Gains and losses. But God is allowing it for our spiritual growth. In heaven, there will be no losses. We have everything that we have merited. And most of all, we have the presence of God for all eternity with no diminution, no loss, no taking away. Keeping our eyes in heaven is so motivating. It also doesn't hurt. As a matter of fact, we even need to remind ourselves of the eternal punishments of hell so that we do not end up there. But dwelling on hell is more fear-oriented, obviously. I don't want to end up in hell. Meditating on heaven is more love-oriented. We should do both. I'm reminded of what St. Teresa of Avila would do when she was tempted. And the devil assaulted the greatest saints with the greatest temptations. And she would, first of all, think of how she would hurt God and how she would suffer the loss of heaven if she gave in to that sin. But sometimes those temptations were so strong, she had to focus on that fear of hell. I don't want to end up in the eternal fires of hell. There's no leaving hell. Abandon all hope, all ye who enter here, as Dante said in the Inferno. That's very salutary. But again, we need to also meditate on heaven. Today we are urged, keep our eyes fixed on heaven. There was a saying, I believe, of St. Aloysius Gonzaga, quid est hoc ad eternitatem? What is this in light of eternity? And let that be a byword for us as well, that when we go through the sorrows and difficulties and challenges of life, or we have a temptation to deal with, let us also say, as that saint did, as all the saints would, what is this in comparison to eternity? What is this in comparison to that most amazing reward, which I can't even imagine fully? Keep that in mind. It is, again, such a great motivation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.